thank the Lord we're saved. I'm glad I'm saved, glad I know what they're singing about. I'm glad I know what the Christian battle is. Glad the Lord had mercy on me and let me get hooked up with the right group. And I found out that that's not by accident. God will give anybody the truth that wants it. And most people's problem is they don't want it. If you want it, it's the hardest thing you ever done in your life about how you get saved is unlearn something you've been taught all your life and let God be true and speak to you from His Word. That's your problem. Your problem ain't believing what the Bible says. Your problem is seeing it through all that junk you've been taught. And if you can ever do that and just lay aside what you thought and what you thought the Bible said and what somebody said or somebody else thunk, then you can just say, all right, Lord. Well, that's one of the best lessons I ever learned, was just forget what I think and say that's what the Bible says, so that's the way it is. You say, well, what if inside I disagree with it? Forget how you feel inside. Just let the book say what it says, and that way, you know, you're not in trouble that way. If it's wrong, we'll get up there and say, well, Lord, we believe it just like you put it. Ain't our fault. But let's say you're wrong, and you get up there. Then you're going to answer for it. We're not going to have to answer for it. This is the way it was delivered to us. This is the way it was when we were saved and called to preach. And as long as we just believe it, we'll be in the clear. If somebody else messed up, that'll be their problem. Tonight I'm glad to be here. And we're going to read in Titus chapter 1. I tell you, it's not every church you go to where you have an atmosphere like this, and you ought to thank God for it and soak it up while you've got it. Had a fellow pull a switchblade on me right down there a minute ago. Preacher asked today, how many have been, if he'd waited till tomorrow to ask that, I could have raised my hand. You don't go to places like that very often where a guy comes up and says, preacher, it better be good tonight. Right thing right there. That's inspiring. I told him, I said, thank you, man. I appreciate that. Amen. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter number 1. This is Paul writing to the preacher here. And look what he said. To Titus, verse 4, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. The verse there in the middle of verse 5 says that he should ordain elders in every city. I believe it's God's plan from the very beginning of the New Testament to have a Bible-preaching church in every city. I still believe that's God's plan. I don't believe it's the Lord's plan for all the Christians in the world be in the same town. You know, I mean, it'd be fun. We could all get together and have a big time all the time. But that these missionaries are up here. They're up there because God wants a witness in every city. Now, a lot of you fellas here tonight, God the Lord will call you, no doubt, to somewhere where you've never been and don't know anybody and don't even want to go. But that's because this scripture said he wanted some ordained elder in every city. With that thought in mind tonight, I'm preaching to you on the subject, why every community needs a church. Why every community needs a church. There's a lot of things you find in most communities. Usually, if it's much of a community at all, you'll find a post office at least, or at least one store, maybe a bank, and maybe at least a clinic where you could go if you got hurt real bad before they could transport you to the nearest hospital. But more than a post office or a bank or a store, every community needs a church, no doubt about it. The church's value and importance and influence on a community is absolutely incalculable. If you don't believe it, go to a country where there's not many churches and look at the difference in people and places than in a place where, for example, like in the South in the United States, where there are many churches. A lot of church buildings being built and churches meeting. And those that are good churches, of course, we thank the Lord for it. Heard about that old country church who got up to have a business meeting. And I don't know if he's really wanting to do anything or not. They had three or four resolutions to make. Resolution number one, build new church. Resolution number two, build new church on site of old church. Resolution number three, build new church on site of old church out of material used from tearing down old church. Resolution number 4, use old church until new church is completed. I don't know if they were really wanting to put one or not, but I believe tonight that every place that you go to, every town, every city, every community in America needs at least one Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church in that community just to keep a witness for the Lord. Don't you? I tell you tonight, I believe in having church. I don't have any confidence or use for any movement or effort. People who are bypassing the church. And, you know, with a bunch of hippies sitting out on the beach in a circle, staring into each other's eyes and smoking pot and having visions, you know, and sharing their testimonies with each other. I believe that God has churches ordained in communities, and every community ought to have at least one preacher that even though most people don't like him, they respect him and know, you got this thing on, boys? He is a man of God. Now, turn this to that just there, okay? Don't pay no attention to them little needles bouncing on. They wasn't no good preaching if they heard it. You know, turn it up till I say turn it out, okay? The church's presence in a community, first of all tonight, is of a restraining value. Do you know that? A church being in a community will restrain evil in a community. You know what's wrong with a lot of these cities up north? There's not many churches. You say, oh yeah, they are, Brother Danny. I went up there. No, you're talking about buildings. I'm talking about churches, see? There is a big difference. There's a big difference between a building and a church, you know. I know there's a lot of buildings up in a lot of those big cities. I was up in Pennsylvania preaching, and the preacher took me downtown, and he says, come here, I want to show you a church. Up on this one, boy. Down just a little on this one, up on this one. You got that? You're doing fine. Okay? All right, little boy, I tell you what, he took me down there. He said, look, this church. I said, that? It's a great big old spooky looking thing. That thing is 40 miles up in the air. I went in there. I said, why are they building so high? It was real skinny. It wasn't near as about wide as this one section here. And you'd cloud up and rain in that thing. I'll guarantee it. It's high as a Superdome, brother. And I looked in there, and that thing in there had old statues on it. Big old gory, gross looking pictures on the wall. And people with their guts hanging out and everything. I thought, Lord, this ain't a church. And he showed me all that, had a little box over here where he could put money. Looked like a slot machine. And there's a woman sitting over there, looked like she's on drugs. And she's sitting over there going, I thought, what's she doing? He said, she's reciting this and she's saying that. And you know, when you go into a place like that, that's not a church. It's like that little boy who's inviting his friend. He kept saying, come to my church. He said, I can't. I belong to another abomination. That's what you're talking about. That's the kind I'm in. I'm not talking about that kind at all. I'm not talking about the kind up in Atlanta, you know, where they have the drive-through confessional. You know, for those who are in a hurry, you know, you curl up and confess your sin and go on, you know. They call that tootin' tail. I ain't talking about them kind. I'm not talking about that kind at all. I'm not talking about that kind where you just, you know, pop in and say a few little words and go home. Not talking about that at all. I'm talking about a real, honest-to-goodness church where they preach the Bible, love the Lord, sing, pray, shout, preach, and get people saved. Every community needs one of them. A church's value will reveal evil in the community. We got a great big sign up in front of our church, or the marquee, and our church is right downtown. And that thing sticks up, and we change the wording on the sign there, like y'all got out there. And we try to keep something nice for the community and have something, you know, like help keep Marion clean, swallow your beer cans or something like that. And we put something on there to keep people reminded that there's a God. Not long ago, I seen this old boy. He's walking down the street. He's walking down through there in the church, a store right beside the church sells beer. And that old boy's coming down the street. I don't know if he's drunk or what. He come walking down through there and he stopped and looked at that sign. He stood there and he stood there and he stood there and he stood there and he walked around the other side and looked up there at that thing and just stood there and stood there. You know, I thought there's no telling how long it's been since that fella has been in church and heard somebody witness to him or preach to him, and God has stuck that church right there in the middle of that town. There's a doubt in my mind, brother, so that it will reveal evil in that community and remind people there's still a God and remind them. That's what your church is like turning a light on. I don't know how your building is down here, but it's like most places in Florida, you got roaches. And if you went in here at night and it was real dark and all of a sudden you flipped on all these lights, you'd see roaches, big old black ones, out in the middle of the floor. And you know what they'd do when these lights come on? They'd go, they would run this way and that way, up under the pews, running for the crack. And you know, our cities are like that. Our cities are dark because of sin. Some old boy goes down there and rents him a storefront building and puts up a sign that says, Jesus saves. And Buddy Hall's off there and puts services Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Sunday night at 7. You know what he's doing? He's flipping a light on. And you watch them cockroaches start running. You watch those signs start falling down. Here's how bad it is in our town. Store right beside the church sells beer. And you know what they put on their sign? It says, free ice with case. And we say, case? Case of what? Free ice with case of what, man? Go up north and see what it says on their sign. You know, Jack Daniels, free ice. You know, Budweiser, Montgomery, Miller Lowlife, free ice with case. Now, as it says, free ice with case. Nothing. How about going there and getting me a case of Pepsi's and sitting on there and saying, I want my free ice now. I can get a case of Reese's Cups, man, and get my free ice. That's right. I say, what you scared to put it on your sign for? You know the fellow that run that store, he went out of business, and I told him before he put beer, we never had beer and wine in our town all my life until just 3 years ago, and it voted wet the city by 30 votes. And boy, it was a terrible thing, and it was a pitiful mess, all of that. And I told that boy, I said, you better keep that stuff out of here. I said, we buy all kinds of stuff from you and get our bus gas and everything if you'd leave it. He said, I got to have it to make a living. It wasn't long after that till he had to sell the store, and he said, nobody didn't want to buy beer in front of church, you know. Called some pulled across the parking lot, and it had to go somewhere else. And you know what that is? That's turning on the light in a community, and the cockroaches head to the cracks. They don't even want to be seen carrying a brown bag, you know. People coming out, might be some of their kinfolk coming out of that, and they'll just go on up the street and buy it somewhere. But I'll tell you what that'll do. It will reveal evil in the community. It will restrain evil in the community. People don't want to be seen sitting where there's a bunch of lights on. That don't mean the sin ain't going on. It just means that it's pushed back in the cracks and not out in front of your kids as much as it would be had it not been in them churches. I'm hoping and praying God will get a hold of some of you young fellas and call you and send you out somewhere and set up a Bible preaching church in these communities all over America, and go just hang them lights on and push that sin, that devil, back in the corner where it should be. The church's presence is of a restraining value. Not only that, number two tonight, the church's presence in a community is a reminding value. It'll remind people of some things. First of all, it reminds them that there is a God in heaven that loves them. And listen, me and you hear that all the time. How many people have been saved over 5 years? Raise your hand. Well, that's just about everybody in here. Now listen, you've been saved 5 years, you've been going to church probably 300 times a year for 5 years. That's 1,500 times. You hear a song, you hear preaching, you read the Bible, you know God loves you. You know God cares. You know, but did you know there are people out there in Pensacola tonight that really, they really don't even realize that there's a God in heaven that cares about them? Sure don't. Now, it's hard for me and you to even understand, but it's true. The church's presence in the community, right, reminds them there is a God who cares about them. And then it reminds them of an opportunity to come and know forgiveness and happiness and peace. Did you know that your chances of having a heart attack are twice greater if you don't go to church regular? Really? Did you know that the happiest people in the world are God's people that go to church regular? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to know peace and joy and forgiveness? And hey, you'll have the best times you ever had in your life sitting right where you're sitting tonight. Now, I've seen some of the most hilarious things in my life sitting in the house of God. I mean, we had a watch night service a couple of weeks ago at our church.
out New Year's Eve, you know, and we started at 7 o'clock and went till 12 o'clock. And we said, we're going to pray out the old year and in the new year. And somebody said, Lord, you going to sit there for 5 hours? How in the world are you going to stand it? And we kicked that thing off at 7 o'clock, and we got to singing. Next thing I know, we had to preach. We had about 4 preachers preach that night, and it got 12 o'clock just like that, and we couldn't even squeeze in everybody that wanted to give a testimony, everybody that wanted to sing a song. They run the aisles. They knock things, beat each other over. They shouted all over the place. They squawked. One fella come across the front of the church, and he didn't even look like he looked like he's in a coma. He looked like he should be in the hospital. And he come around there doing some kind of T-Berry shuffle like it. And I ain't never seen nobody shout like that. And all us just a dying laughing at it. We had another big fat preacher there that night, and he had you know he's on the level because the bubble's in the middle. And buddy, he slipped down, and that old boy jumped up, and he tried to shout a little bit. And when he shouted, he was trying not to lose his balance. And as he was trying not to lose his balance, he was going like that. We was a dying laughing at him. But I tell you what, boy, some of the greatest times you'll ever have is right here in the house of God. Don't wake up with a hangover the next morning. I'm ain't singing about where we're going to go one of these days, and talking about our sins being forgiven, and talking about one of these days living with Jesus and just enjoying the ride. I tell you, man, you can't beat that coming to the house of God. I'll tell you, that don't mean there ain't other groups going to heaven, but if you're going to heaven, ain't nothing wrong going first class, right? I'll tell you, some of the greatest times, out some of the funniest things I've ever seen happen right in church. One night we was outside cleaning up around our old building, and before we built our new church building, a big old pile of trash out there on the side door, and about that time there's a big rat about that long run out of that trash pile and went right in the church. And somebody said, look at that rat! And I said, get it, boys, get it. We all went in there and started hunting that thing, couldn't find it. And I don't know what happened to it. It disappeared. And one of them boys just joking, cutting up, you know, he said, you know, it'd be about like that thing to come out right in the middle of service Sunday morning. Oh, wouldn't that be funny? You ain't going to believe this. You ain't going to believe it. Sure enough, brother, that thing got back in the nursery. And it had been in the nursery, a lot of wind like it back yonder. And we wound up calling him Brother Rat. He got quite a reputation around our church. Sure as the world, brother, Sunday morning. Here he come, down the aisle, like right over there. People started looking this way, punching each other. Shoulders started doing it like this. What would some of you ladies do if you felt a rat going up your leg right now? We'd have some shouting in here, wouldn't we? That thing come down the aisle that night and went, and that morning, and went zoop, and we didn't have no carpet or nothing, just old, had 2x4s and plywood and stuff, and went zoop, right under the altar. Well, I just might as well dismiss them, man. There wasn't no, who's going to come to the altar? I mean, get down there and close your eyes like this. A rat come out nibbling on your nose. You'd have to want God mighty bad to come to the altar in a case like that. I tell you, you wouldn't believe some of the funniest, most hilarious, best times I've ever had in my life are sitting right here in the house of God. Didn't cost me a dime. I mean, you don't have to pay for it. The police ain't looking for you. You got a clear conscience when you lay down at night. I tell you what, brother, I'll take this crowd any day of the week. Won't you? I ain't looking for no new crowd. I ain't looking for some new bunch to join up with to get my kicks and thrill. I found out where honey is. I found out where the glory comes out. And just give me that crowd. That's the kind I want to be around. One night I was preaching down in South Carolina, and an old guy came in there. We called him Shouting Charlie. That was his name. And Shouting Charlie had the most unusual way of shouting anybody I ever seen in my life. He'd come in, he had a short fuse, you know. I mean, it wouldn't take much. He'd shout to grab the hat and drop the hat to get the shout. I mean, that old boy lived right, walked right, and he just had himself a time. The old fellow, about that tall, and he's an older man, and he'd come in, whoa, hallelujah, glory, kicking his legs out, you know, and everything. He had the funniest way of shouting I've ever seen anybody. He'd be sitting here like this brother is right here, and all of a sudden, here's the way he'd shout. He'd jump up like this, and he'd run over here and grab somebody's leg and go. And then go back and sit down. I ain't never seen nobody shout like that, have you? And he done that I don't know how many times that night. He just run over there and grab somebody's leg. And then he'd run back over here and sat down just like that. We sat there and died laughing at that fella. I ain't never seen nobody shout like he did. I tell you, that's the way old shouting Charlie did. We've had the law called on us out in our church parking lot, really. Law pull in. What's going on, boys? We're out there praying. One night, the pastor of the church, they thought it was a bunch of drunks out in our parking lot. One night, I was preaching up in the mountains. And I mean, way, way back in the mountains. And I had a little old Volkswagen and about three guys with me. And we got up there and we started coming home. And all of a sudden, my gas pedal just went to the floor. And it just idling. And the cable broke, went from the gas back, you know, pulled the gas out of the back of that thing. But old Volkswagen, you opened up the back end of it, had the motor in the back. We got back there fooling around that thing. We said, boys, the cable broke. What are we going to do? And you can take your finger, like that with it. So finally, I said, give me your belts, fellas. So we all took off our belts and tied them together. And time, it was funny, it was late at night, about 10:30, out in the middle of nowhere. And we was laughing. Well, glory to God, the gas fees broke. We're 100 miles from nowhere. You know, somebody's either got to be drunk or to be happy about something like that. We was out there laughing and praising the Lord. I seen a guy shouting on the side of Interstate 85 near Charlotte at 95 degrees where he just had a blowout and he turned the lug wrench and go, whoa, thank you, Jesus. That man crazy, buddy. Or he's got something, one of the two. The world can't figure that out, I'll guarantee you. I seen that with my own eyes. And we was out there and I said, give me a minute. We took that belt, all them belts up to the gas feed, and run it across the top of that Volkswagen. And I said, my friend over here, I said, now when I tell you, you yank that thing and we'll go. Now, we ain't on level roads, people. I mean, one wrong move and you're a goner. You're like, shh, like that. Curvy. And I said, okay, now, boys, you ready? And I put that thing in gear. Have you ever drove with somebody else gas, you know, give you a feeling like you ain't really in control? And I said, okay, man. He went, and here we went. And I'd say, let off, man, let off. When they went out, I had the brakes on, he had the gas on. Them other boys in the back said, well, glory to God, we're about to get killed. Now, what's wrong with somebody that acts like that? We laughed all the way home. We talked about that. Throwing something, you know, and getting home because, well, your child of God can sure have a ball in life. I feel sorry for these people that think it's boring to be a Christian. I feel so sorry for these pitiful people that get bored living for God and have to go find something else to get their kicks. Yes, sir, brother. It reminds people that we can know happiness. Happiness. Happiness is to know the Savior. Living a life within His favor. Having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Yes, sir. I tell you what tonight. Listen. Do you know the greatest people you'll ever meet in your life are people in church? I know we get criticized. I know we get talked about. Let me tell you something about these church people. Brother, they might not be everything they should be, but when the chips are down, you really need help. You know where it's going to come from? It's not going to come from these little organizations out in the community. These do-good people, you know, wearing trash cans on top of their head, shaking bells, and, you know, on your throat. It's not going to come from them. As some of you know, I'm kind of in, I ain't had it rough like some of God's people have, but I'm kind of in a little predicament right now where I'm having to raise three girls by myself, and one of them's 19 months and in baby diapers at home tonight. The other two's here. And I tell you, you just ain't never lived till you get up in the morning on Sunday and you're praying, saying, God, now help me to be ready to preach this morning. And it's Sunday morning. You up, get up. Hey, look, come here. No, don't do that. Lay that down. And about the time you get the little bitty and ready, you know, smells funny. reason I'm saying this is for some of you spiritual giants who smart off at your wife if she asks you to put, puts her pocketbook in the car on Sunday morning. Because you're so spiritual, you can't even, you're getting prepared for church. And you just got in at 2 o'clock that morning when you've been off somewhere preaching. And you're getting bottles ready. And about that time, once, here goes chocolate milk. Right, you just got the dress put on. Chocolate milk goes down the front of the dress. And then I say, my God, what am I going to teach in my Sunday school? I got my Sunday school class ready. A new convert's coming in there, and I got to teach on this morning. Then I got to have this other. I'm putting my message on the back burner, or letting it simmer, like it's Sunday school all the way. And then I'm going to pull it up there in the front of my mind and have it like, and the phone rings. And I'm saying, Daddy, and she's a crying. And about that time, it's one of your leaders in the church. And I say, Brother Danny, I just need to talk to you a few minutes. I say, what do you want? Wait just a minute. Leave that. Put that down. He says, I'm just so discouraged. I'm going to resign all my jobs and my offices at the church. Can you get somebody else to lead the singing this morning? Wow, boy. Got any advice, you new spiritual giants? Wouldn't trade place with nobody right now. I mean that. God's good, brother. God, and you get special blessings from the Lord if you put forth special efforts. And you know how come I can travel all over the country? I guess I preached in 30 churches this past year besides the church I try to pastor. And got a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour-a-day job there at home. You know how come I can do that? Because of some of God's people, ladies, who work some of them on a job and get off during the day and fix a meal all day long, bring hot meals to my house so them girls can have something good to eat. And only when they come home from school, the one and the other two little ones at home. Who, when I'm preaching the Bible, they have a list made out for me every week that I'm preaching. And know where I'm at, when I have to leave, and a babysitter's at the house. From the time I leave, don't even take the kids out of the house. Let them play with their toys and be in their own home. Hey man, when you need help, you know where you're going to get it? You're going to get it from God's people. That's where it's going to come from. I don't owe the world nothing. They ain't done nothing but mess me up. I've got people call from Florida out to California to South Carolina and Georgia and Alabama and everything. Brother, we're praying for you. Brother, we're fasting for you. One night a preacher called. He said, Brother, you didn't have to do nothing at our service tonight. 50, 60 mile away except pray for you. And I said, Brother, you think about that. You talk about friends. Brother, it's a great thing to know that you got people. Sometimes your family gets cancer. Something goes wrong in your home. You got people you can call all over the country and get them to praying. People that'll give up food for you. People, that's what I call some friends, man. Thank God, brother, we have a church to come to and know forgiveness and happiness. Let me tell you what the Lord's been doing lately. Right back before Christmas, I went up in the mountains to preach. He said, I thought you live in the mountains. I do, but I'm talking mountains. In a place called Robbinsville, North Carolina. Anybody here ever heard of Robbinsville, besides you people from North Carolina? Okay, man. Robbinsville, North Carolina is right in the tip of North Carolina. It's near Franklin, Murphy, between Cherokee, and the tip. You go down that way a little way in Georgia, go up that way a little bit, and you're in Tennessee. I'm talking in the middle of the mountains. I mean, brother, it's a place where they park the sunshine in and the moonshine out. I'm talking about a place where those mountain boys and meters. The bootlegger had his Christmas lights out in the yard, had a cross lit up in his yard. That's what I'm talking about. Where the boys for their spare time go coon hunting. That's all they do is go coon hunting. Every day. Every night sometimes. I got over there and the preacher said, I believe God's going to give us some meat. Brother Millsap, he kenned old Ronnie Millsap thing. That's where he's from. I said, we'll be over there, and we started meeting on Monday night. And there's some things been happening, and I've had some real discouraging times. And
Y'all wouldn't believe. On Sunday night before that revival started, I felt about less like a preacher than I have in years. I said, God, what am I doing going over there to preach? I need reviving. There's so many things going on, trouble and problem. I felt like my brain was being fried like an egg. I said, God, I can't. What am I doing going over there to preach them? Why don't you get somebody else? On Monday night, I went and preached this. We had a little service there. Nothing much happened. On Tuesday night, I preached Monday night on being faithful. And I said something like, you know, they have sports. Right, all they do is play football and go coon hunting. I'm talking about a town, a whole county. It's all white. I mean, we're getting close to heaven, man. I mean, the mountain up here, the air is clean. The water is clear. You can drink it. Trout, rainbow trout, that long. Wild hogs on it. Really, man, it's something else, I tell you. We got up in there preaching. Hey, let me tell you something about this place. They won the state championship in football in small 1A schools in North Carolina 11 out of 15 years with an all-white team. 5 years in a row, state champions. Ain't that something? I ain't prejudiced. I'm just telling you stuff to help you understand, you know, what's going on in the world. Won the state championship 69 to nothing, brother. State champion in football. Them coon hunters are rough, brother. Amen, brother. Amen. Bless your heart, preacher. I appreciate that. I said you ought to be faithful. On Monday night, that one fellow got in there and took me serious. You know one thing I appreciate about all them mountain people? They'll take you serious when you preach. They say, hey, that's God's word. Man means that. They don't sit back and say, well, that's his opinion, and I've been taught different, and I've been to college and all that stuff. They say, is God telling me something? I'm going to do it. You'd be a lot better off like that, too. And that guy went home and told his 14-year-old son, is that how old he is, 14? He told his boy, he said, his boy's on the ball team. He said, you ain't going to ball game tomorrow night. You're going to revival. And that boy got mad and snubbed up. He's on the ball team. And he's come in the next evening, and his son was at the gym. The man went down to the gym, drug his son out of the gym, took him to revival, and there he sat on the back seat. That night I preached, and God got a hold of him. And that 14-year-old boy come down the aisle, fell on his face, and got right with the Lord. He started crying. The next day he went back to school and told some of his friends he got right. And he told the coach he wasn't coming to practice, he was coming to the church. And the coach got mad and said, if you go to that revival tonight, I'll run you to death. And the parents got on the phone and said, it ain't right, our boys is wanting to get right with God. They said, God's doing something up at our church. And we knew, the coach said, okay, if they're going to the revival, they're excused from practice. That night about three of his buddies got saved. The next night about two or three more of them got saved. On Thursday night, we had about 10 got saved. I mean to tell you, it got on, son. It got to spreading in that community. And brother, the next thing I know, we met back Saturday night. To make a long story short, I just preached down there this week before I come down here. I preached down there Monday night and Tuesday night. Tuesday night made 18 nights of the revival meeting. We've had over about 50 or 60 saved. They're coming and bringing their kids in. They're flooding the aisles. And brother, they had over 100 get right with God, rededicate their life. It's spreading in the community. And I mean to tell you, brother, God's all over that place. It's been the greatest meeting I've ever been in since I've been saved. Before that thing was over, I forgot I had any problems. I said, glory to God, let's go, brother. It's a 3-hour drive from my house. Only 150 miles, but it takes you 3 hours of flying. And they coming that close of calling off a ball game for that revival meeting. Only one coach. Can you imagine a public school calling a ball game off for a revival meeting? The other side was willing. They said they'd come. And the girls' coach is the only one that bucked it. Boy, I tell you, it's been a blessing.
I tell you, we got a bunch of them coming. They found out it's coming down here Tuesday night. They've been in church off and on for about 4 weeks. Where all y'all people in Robbinsville stand up and start and tell them I'm telling the truth tonight. See them boys there? I mean, them's coon hunting boys there, man. These ladies over here. Hey, I'm going to get you one up here and talk. They can talk to you tomorrow night. For behalf of the young people. You think I talk funny, brother? I'm a city slicker. One boy got up one night and he said, whew, this revival's been good. It's just blessed me aside. You ever heard anybody say that? Have you ever heard anybody say that? But okay. There's some old timers in here. But I tell you, brother, it's been wonderful. Thank God for it. It's been real good. And you know, God just knows how to do stuff like that. The Lord just knows. You know what the teacher said at school? The teacher said, I ain't never seen our kids act like this. They said they don't cheat on the test. They said as soon as they get through their test, they put it under their, they pull their Bible out and sit there and start reading it. They took about 500 cheat tracts into that school. They put them out all over that place. I mean to tell you, brother, the church they're sitting in the, up here on the choir, it's been good, man. It's been good. After I get through the revival meeting next week, we're going to be up, go over and crank back up again and see what happens. Tonight, that's what a church, that's why every community needs a church. Do you know that? Everybody needs a church. Now you get persecuted. You know, it's not all good. Now you get the devil knocked out of you. And the more you get the devil knocked out of you, the more God will bless you. It can't be all blessing. You understand that, don't you? A lot of young preachers go out and they start something just because it don't blossom and be wonderful overnight. They get all discouraged and quit and think God ain't in it and everything. Well, what do you expect nowadays? Do you really expect the world to cooperate? Our church is the biggest church in our city and our county. And we catch the devil. Believe you me. I've been accused of everything from selling drugs to beating the babies in the nursery. Up here just higher, brother. You know that? Really? Just the other day, they said, some woman come in our church. We locked the doors in our church. Wouldn't let nobody out. And a woman got sick. And we wouldn't let her out. And they're going to have a fire department come down and check us. They said that I wouldn't let none of the women in our church shave their legs. That's right. I got up and told them. I said, that, I ain't never heard that before. I said, personally, I don't care if you shave them or not. I ain't supposed to be looking at them. That's between you and your husband. If he wants you to have hairy legs, that's your business. Personally, you might look like a lesbian. But did you know? I don't care, shame or not shame. They said I made everybody in the church sell their TVs and give me the money. The latest rumor is that I committed suicide. I've had two people ask me in the past week that I had they'd heard that I committed suicide. Do I look like I committed suicide? Our doctor's office is right beside our church, and he's an unsaved German doctor. And buddy, that guy, he said our sign was upsetting his heart patients. He said, when we was building the church, bulldozers got out there and started moving, you know, boom, 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 and shaking, and they shook his building and knocked his computers out. He lost his records, and people owed him money and everything, and when the computer came back on, it didn't come on back on there. It's gone. You know, I ain't felt led to go over and talk to him since then. Lady called me up on the phone one day and she said, is this Betty Castle? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I have a complaint. I said, yes, ma'am. I just got one about the day before that and I was aggravated anyway. Some woman called and blessed me out because I preached about this guy who died with AIDS in our town. And I just told something about, you know, AK and stuff like that. And she got real mad at me and she said, why can't you let him rest in peace? I'm a Lutheran and I'm going to heaven. Bow! I didn't say nothing about her wasn't going to heaven. I didn't know who it was. I didn't say nothing about Lutherans or nothing. So this lady called, she said, is this Castle? And I said, yeah. And she said, I'm upset. I said, what's wrong? She said, this literature that these young people are giving out in these schools. I said, who are you, ma'am? And she said, I'd like to keep that anonymous. I should have just hung up on her right then. Anybody that ain't got enough guts to tell you who they are. It's like writing a letter and not signing no name. God, just keep your letter, son. If you're ashamed of it, why are you writing it? And she said,
got this devil in here. And I said, now, ma'am, how do you know that? I don't know if that's from our church. She said, it's got your name on it. Oh, okay, I guess it is then. She said, this is driving people away. That's what always hypocrites say when you're trying to do something. You know what they'll tell you? They'll say, you're driving people away. How many people have you seen them driving in? You just tell them, say, I like the way we do it better than the way you ain't doing it. If I went over her a while, not long at Christmas, this woman called me and she said, is this Reverend Castle? I said, oh, Lord, here it comes again. I got one preacher friend of mine up there. He preached a series on messages on the radio on the day God killed the queers. That was the title of it, brother, on radio. He could have thought of a nicer title than that, surely. He come in one day, he said, his wife said, listen, if you're going to preach them old hellish messages on them, you're going to stay here and answer the phone. I'm tired of it. So this lady, she said, I'm upset. And I said, what you upset about, ma'am? And she said, this literature your people are giving out at the shopping centers. And y'all know about all the trouble we've had this summer. I guess our church was in the news, probably as many churches in America for its size because of a certain incident that we won't go into tonight because I'm in a good mood. And please don't ask me about it. Did keep me from getting picked the other night. I was on the way to Robbinsville, and a cop pulled me over. And I started telling him who I was. He said, oh, yeah, I recognize you. He'd seen me on TV. So I was Romans 8:28, done one good thing out of that. I'll tell you about that another time, but if you ever want to know the truth, I'm going to let you have it on there. But this lady said, this literature, and I said, what is it, ma'am? And she said, this picture on the front of this little pamphlet has upset my son. And I said, what is it, ma'am? We started talking about a little gospel track, the little Christmas track, Ho, Ho, Ho. Did y'all have them down here? It's really a bad, I ain't really like them tracks. Had a picture of Santa Claus on the front of it and said, Ho, Ho, Ho. But he had horns and a pitchfork and had a tail. It's like the devil that has Santa Claus suit on. She said, that has upset my son. And I said, ma'am, I'm sorry about that. What's the problem? She said, well, what does that mean? And I said, well, ma'am, I tried to explain to her that we tried to teach our kids that, you know, somebody couldn't fly through there and go down everybody's chimney at night and leave presents. It's just a lie. It's a lie. I said, that ain't true. We let our kids have Christmas and buy them presents and stuff, but that's a bunch of junk. And she said, why do you have to say it like that? And I said, listen, ma'am, we're not saying that, you know what you think we're trying to say. We're just saying that the devil is using that. And I said, tell the kid that his daddy is Santa Claus. And she said, that's a problem. I told him his daddy is Santa Claus. Now he thinks his daddy's a devil. I said, ugh. I said, oh no. I said, ugh. And you guys got a book on what to do in a situation like that? I said, I'm sorry, we didn't mean it like that. We didn't mean to tell him his daddy's a devil. And I tried to calm her down, and she was hot. And finally I said, can I have your address? I know what else to do. She gave me her address, and I went and bought the kid a present and wrapped it up and sent it to him for Christmas. I didn't know what to do. But oh, the joys of pastoring. It's a trip, buddy. I tell you what. There's never a dull moment. Thank God we're in the church. We're in the church. Some of the funniest things I've ever been around, the most exciting times I've ever had, have been right in the house of God. One little kid came up one time and said, Grandpa had been 89 years old and he died. He said, look, Mom, Grandpa won't be able to see a thing in heaven. He found his glasses. I tell you, if you really want to be around something that'll amuse you, get your class of about 4-year-olds and teach that class right. They'll blow your mind with their doctrine. Really? You think Ruttman's smart? He has the mind of a 4. That's why he's so smart. He's got a mind of a 4-year-old. That's right. I guarantee you, them kids are brilliant, man. Mine, I got one around here somewhere. Where's my little? Oh, she's asleep, conked out. Oh, there she is.
See that little one right there? She can come up with stuff that'll blow your mind. The other day she said this, "Daddy, am I saved?"
Yeah, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, buddy. What's God doing in a little old youngin' like that? And I said, "Now, honey, you're when you get a little bit bigger, you're going to want to get saved." Now, I didn't know what to say to her. And I went through that with my other one, and she was coming along. And I want God, boy, they can sure teach you some stuff.
One boy told the other boy, he said, "Boy, I bet Noah done a lot of fishing on that boat." He said, "No, he didn't, Scooby. He didn't have but two worms." Now, you would never thought of that, would you? Yeah, see, some of you done saying amen before I got through with that. Your problem is you've got old and sin has dulled your mind. That's right, brother. One teacher told her class, she said, "Now, kids, all of y'all draw a Bible story. Take your picture here, and you draw a Bible character on here." And so they drawed, you know, this whale swallowing Jonah, and one of them drawed, you know, the Ten Commandments and all that. And you've heard that story before, probably. It's a blessing. One little girl drawed a great big old grizzly bear standing there like this and had his eyes crossed like he's drunk. And down below, in parentheses, it had "gladly." And the teacher looked at that thing and looked at that thing. She said, "Honey, I don't understand this. What? That's a Bible story?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "That's a song we sing in church all the time. Gladly, my cross-eyed bear." "That's too smart for me, man. That's too smart for me. That's out of my league." Well, let me say this right quick and I'll be through. The church's presence in a community is of a redemptive value. Oh, thank God. The message will convict men of sin. Sin doesn't seem so bad until you hear somebody get up and preach on it. Then it becomes exceeding sinful. And then, boy, you think, "Boy, I'm a low-down scoundrel. And I need God. And I need help." You know what God's got a church in the community for? So some old leather-lung preacher can get up and scream and holler and beat the pulpit and stomp his feet and say, "Right is right and wrong is wrong and sin is black and it's ugly and it's wicked and it'll take you to hell." It's got a redeeming value in a community. The devil don't like that. I thought a lot of times about where I'd be tonight if it wasn't for the church. I got saved at Nebo Baptist Church when I was 18 years old, up on the hill in the community where I lived. I was running up and down the roads, never been saved, part-time hippie. Had my hair down, way back down here on my back. The night I got saved, I had on an old pair of blue jeans and an American flag sewed on them right down here at the bottom, you know, like they wore it back in the 70s. I went there that night. There's an old man of God preaching that revival named Joe Parson. Joe Parson was a legend. He preached over the mountains for 40 years. He wanted him to get up 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, and pray 2 hours. And God come to town when Joe come to town. That's all they are to it. And there's a lady in that church been fasting for 6 days for the young people in our community. She said she went 3 days, and she said it was over with, and God said that ain't enough, and she went 3 more days. Begging God to move on just a bunch of boys like us running up and down the road out there. That night, I had a little MG, and I drove it to church, me and my girlfriend, and my cousin. We went in that night and sat back on this side, about the 3rd row from the back. That night, there's a group of young people got up and started singing. People was getting saved, had been getting saved 2 or 3 nights in a row, and boy, I tell you, there's something got in there that night. My heart started pounding. I started getting nervous. My cousin turned around, looked at me and said, "Hey, man, let's go get saved." I said, I ain't ready to get saved. It ain't my time to get saved. You go on." There's a girl turned around up front of me, and she turned around. I went to school with. She said, "Danny, why don't you go get saved?" I said, "It ain't my time to get saved." I didn't know what else to say to them. I didn't know how to act. I thought, well, it was your time to get saved. You'd hear voices or angels playing on harps or something. God strike lightning or something. My heart is just going boom, boom, boom.
That night, I thought about all them Bible stories my mom taught me when I was little. And she got me up on her knee when I was little and took a big old Bible story book and read it to me. My daddy was an alcoholic then. He was out running coon dogs and rabbit dogs all the time. I never even hardly seen him. He was either at work or hunting all the time in the woods. Mom'd get me up in her lap and she'd tell me, and she'd always tell me to do right. And she told me things the Bible said. And I got away out in sin as I was growing up. I'd played in rock and roll band when I was 13, 14 years old. And my daddy driving down the road in an old pickup truck hauling our equipment. And he'd be drunk. And we'd be about ready to run off the road. And I'd reach over and grab the steering wheel. Keep us on the road. All that stuff started flashing in front of me. And something said, yeah, what's it going to matter one of these days when you're in hell? Man, I tell you, I never felt like that in my life. And I looked over at my cousin and I said, let's go. He took off. I took off right behind him. Come down. The altar was so full. I'd laid on the altar, face down, and bawled like a baby for 45 minutes. When I got up, things was different. Ain't nothing like really meeting God. I ain't talking about getting religion, man. Brother, I'm talking about meeting Him. Knowing Him. I got up, I felt like I had a bath on the inside. Boy, I sat down on the front row, and that old preacher got up that night, looked right down in front of that whole crowd and pointed right at me and said, did you get everything straight, son? Really, he did. I said, yes, sir. I wouldn't have told him no if it ever happened. That night, somebody come up and put their arm around me and said, Danny, you're going to be a preacher. I laughed. Thought this was crazy. I never dreamed of it. I look back now over my life. Been through any dangers, toils, and snares. The old folks used to sing a song that says, I don't regret a mile. I've traveled for the Lord. I wouldn't trade places with nobody in this world tonight. I know that God put something inside me that He'll continue until the day of Jesus Christ. And I've stumbled around and fell and messed up and sinned and fell on my face 1,000 times since then. But God done something for me at church that I ain't never got over and never will get over. And one of these days when we've been in heaven 1,000,000 years, we'll look back and think about what God done for us. When we shout and sing the story, singing glory, glory, glory. Jesus ransomed me. And I'm telling you tonight, buddy, it's a wonderful thing. I'm glad to be saved, aren't you? Saved by the blood of the crucified one. I'm glad tonight that it's real, ain't you? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. You know what we ought to do tonight? We ought to have a spiritual pep rally. But it's been a long time since some of you just hollered up and said, hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? Preacher, let's sing one. Amen. Come on, Brother Ruckman, let's sing one tonight. Let's sing something. Be a good time to sing, wouldn't it? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand while we sing. There ain't nothing wrong with God's people being happy. Shouting and praising God. We ain't worthy. We ain't worthy. But we're His tonight. Covered by the blood. On our way to heaven. Amen. What are we going to say?
Page 215.
Nor silver nor gold hath obtained my redemption.
nor riches of earth could have saved my poor soul. The blood